The holidays are here. Everybody's traveling and visiting loved ones and got things to do. Gabe, it sounds like you have quite a merry party on your hands all of a sudden.
I don't know how this thing spiraled out of hand. Like, I really don't. Because in my family, like, the big Neitzel family holiday around this time is always Thanksgiving. Go up to Horicon, my aunts and uncles, my sisters, their kids. Like, it's a huge thing. And it's always been that way. And for Christmas, then, for, like, me, my sisters, my mom and dad, it's just, oh, we'll kind of figure out where it fits, you know, when my younger sister has to go visit, you know, her husband's family. Same thing with the older sister. We'll just figure it out. So this year, it's the 27th. We're going, the Saturday after Christmas is when my family's getting together. So that means Christmas was wide open. So I just thought, well, I mean, me and Z, my wife, we're just going to be sitting at home. Well, just to see what my parents are doing. Hey, you want to come down? You know, we just hang out. If you guys are up there, you know, why spend Christmas alone? We can get together. Okay, yeah, sure, they'll come down. Okay. Then my wife asks friends of ours that we used to live with. They had the duplex where they lived upstairs. We were downstairs. They've got three kids. They weren't going anywhere for Christmas, apparently. Oh, just should come over. Yeah, we'll come over. All right. Well, then their
Hold
neighbor.
Hold on. I want to make sure I'm following the math here.
Okay.
It was two.
Yep.
Now it's four. Now it's seven. How many kids do they have? Two?
Three.
They have three.
They have three.
So now it's nine.
Yeah. So then,
I feel an and then coming on.
Well,
here.
We're not at the end here. So their neighbor's a really good friend of ours as well. We see him all the time. Well, if we're inviting that group, well, we got to invite him. And then another friend, like, she was going to be home alone, but then she might be bringing her grandmother with her. She got invited. And then I knew if I didn't ask my sister who lives in West Bend, well, if I don't invite her, my mom's going to ask, well, why didn't you ask, you know, Kelsey to come? So I invited her and her family, and they've got two kids. So all of a sudden, I've got a Christmas party on my hands on Thursday.
I'm still trying to follow the numbers. I was at nine, and then you added, was it three or?
Three, and then 12, four.
And four is 16.
Yeah, 16, I think that's about right.
16 people. You went from you and your wife having just a cozy little Merry Christmas to basically throwing a full-on rager.
That is correct.
How do you handle the logistics of that? And again, I'm not saying that you're like, I don't want all these people here. Obviously, you wouldn't have invited them had you not wanted to spend some time with them, see them, celebrate the holidays, etc. But logistically now, what are we doing for food? Where are we sitting, everyone? Do you have seating for 16 folks to be sort of kind of congregated in one area?
I mean, there's no way we're going to be able to sit down all and have a meal together. So it's just kind of grab and, you know, if you want to sit at the table, we've got room in the kitchen on our island with the counter there. So we'll figure it out. The kids. So I decided already that I wanted to smoke a rib roast. So we're going to have some prime rib.
You want to smoke something.
I'll tell
you
what?
There's 16 people in your house on Christmas. You're going to want to smoke something.
So we were going to have prime rib, but like the kiddos aren't going to eat smoked prime rib. So we're going to get some chicken tenders and just throw that in the air fryer for the kiddos. So, you know, you're going to want to sit down. You're not going to be standing and trying to cut your, you know, piece of steak. So I knew I was going to do that. So I had to make sure when I bought that, had to get a little bit bigger than I was initially planning. And literally today, I'm going to be baking all day. Making a cheesecake, making a pumpkin pie. Then my wife's like, well, this sweet potato pie kind of looks good. All right, I'll add it to the list. I got nothing else going on today after the show. So literally, I'm baking all day today.
Well, listen, I appreciate the effort that you're throwing into it, but why not just swing over to Costco and grab yourself a pumpkin pie and a sweet potato pie? Could you do that to save yourself a little work here?
Why would I do that?
Holy moly. The look he just shot me when I suggested he buy.
How dare
Brian,
you?
Can you That's save me here? Can you?
Outrageous. How that you would dare even you? Suggest.
What? Seriously?
That, if I can't imagine what would happen if my grandmother found out that I just decided to supply store-bought pies. Like all the effort she's put in Christmas and Thanksgiving over the years with all the different, you know, homemade stuff that she has made. Like, no, I cannot do that to my poor 93-year-old Marquette loving grandmother.
Forget your grandmother. One of your best friends on the planet, yours and mine, is a prolific baker.
Yes.
If he got wind of the fact that you were using store-bought treats, he would disown you.
No, he wouldn't. You know what he would do?
He'd stop by and
he'd
bake
stop
for
by
you.
With something. Drop yes, one yeah, off. He would drop one off.
If
this is what he would do.
If he's listening right now, he's going to. I know that he's in Florida right now. He might fly back just to do it.
So yes, that is what would happen in that situation. He would also be disappointed in me. Yes.
Folks on the Carbless Talk and Text Line 800-990-3776 are now wondering where their invite is for the Gabe Neitzel holiday extravaganza that is apparently taking place.
I commend him because it seems like a lot of people don't have holiday plans and they just want somebody to ask. And Gabe,
it spiraled out of control.
Here's another thing that you brought up. The kids with the separate meals, man, right? Back in the day, mm-hmm. if my parents made food for the holidays,
oh, yeah.
that's what we were eating. That's what everyone was eating. There was none of this, we've made this meal, but what would you like, sweet child, right? But we're experiencing that. We're going to my sister, my brother, and my sister-in-law's for Christmas, and they're making, I think, a Greek dinner for Christmas Eve, right? So it's Greek chicken and potatoes and all of those types of fixins. And
sounds really good.
Dario, my husband, says to me, our kids aren't going to eat Greek chicken and potatoes. Like, there are in a strict noodles, chicken fingers, cheeseburgers diet right now. It's just the phase of life that we are in, right? And so to avoid the meltdowns that inevitably take place when you, how dare you suggest something else, we've sort of following, we're like, look, they got meat.
Yeah.
You know, there's some, their pasta, they got a little carbs going on there. So we feel like we've covered some of the bases. But this idea of extra separate meals for the kids, it's a wild world out there, guys. The fact that you're making a separate chicken tenders meal for any of the kiddos who might be there just says where we are.
But it also feels like, because again, I want, if you're coming over, you know, and you're coming with your kids, like, I want my friends to be able to relax too instead of sitting there having to cut up the steak for the kid. Because the kids, I mean, they're all, most of them are under five. There's going to be a couple that aren't, but most are going to be under five. It's not like they're sitting there cutting their own steak. Right? So it's just easier to go, here you go, kids. Here's your meal. I feel that's easier and more relaxing for everyone involved instead of worrying if, okay, are they going to eat the steak? Do I have to cut the steak? What else are they going to eat? No, you just give them what they like and everyone's
going to
be happy.
Now I'm thinking about a five-year-old coming back to you with a plate of steak going, excuse me, Mr. Gabe, this was medium rare. I would like it medium, please.
Sorry, kid. It's medium rare. That's what the roast is, pal.
What a headache for you.
Well, and then the next layer is, and it doesn't sound like Gabe's festivities are going to go this route, but what do you do when people are sleeping over, right? Like, we don't have wings of our house. We don't, you know, like, there aren't other separate bedrooms where you can put people. The other thing is like, hey, how do you feel about this couch? How do you feel about this couch? How do you feel about, you know, and we're moving the kids and then somebody's sleeping in the kids' bedroom and all of that type of stuff. It's all of the logistics that go on. And I applaud anybody this time of year who is hosting for the holidays. Because you know what's happening in the days before the holidays, right? Some poor husband schmuck is cleaning toilets and cleaning the refrigerator and changing the sheets. Because the wife is sitting there militant style, you know, barking orders because you got people coming over and we can't have a messy house with folks coming over.
This is where we really miss Joshy and Mussolini because, you know, that's happening in their household right now.
All against Joshy's
will.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Good thing Joshy has a radio show that he can come on and talk about that because I get the impression he never really raises a stink at home.
Yeah.
I get the impression he's just sort of like,
well, because at that point,
yes, he's way through it.
He's just, what's the point, right? So he just does what is, but he wants to get it off his chest. It doesn't do it any good to get off his chest at home. That's just going to cause more trouble.
It's Brian D. It's Gabe Neitzel. It's Jen Latta. Lots of folks on the YouTube stream saying, who the hell is Jen Latta? Funny. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Oh, sorry. It's ho 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 this
year. Yeah, there you go.
Bad. Chewy is out today. We got a lot of stuff to get to, of course, previewing the Packers-Ravens game. Who the hell's playing quarterback? Have we figured that out? I guess we'll get some answers today as the Packers are back at practice. Lots of stuff going on. Stick around. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
This is an event I am extremely excited about because you can join wrestling legend Kevin Nash January 31st at Potawatomi Casino Hotel for an elevated viewing experience of the Royal Rumble. I am going to be there. GKW, our podcast, is going to be there, and you can watch your favorite WWE superstars battle it out in the match of the year. The watch party going to be located in the annex of Potawatomi Casino for just $100 a person. Here's what you get. Two complimentary drink tickets, unlimited buffet access, a photo and autograph with the legend himself, Kevin Nash, $25 reward or match play to your favorite games on Potawatomi, and a shot at winning your own WWE Championship belt. That's what's going on with the Royal Rumble Watch Party at Potawatomi Casino Hotel on January 31st. Secure your spot today by visiting their website.
feels like an especially good week to get some insight from our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. Merry Christmas. How are you doing today?
I'm good, everybody. How are you?
I'm good. I got some crackling.
Yeah. Might not be the best connection there from Jason. Yeah.
All right, Jason, we're going to call you back. In the meantime, I was just telling Gabe during the break, as expected, you guys ever do the Google Trends where you search something and just see how often or where in the country something is being searched for? Well, I threw the words Clayton Toon into the old Google Trends. In a shocking development, it has significantly spiked. The interest in Clayton Toon has significantly spiked in the last few days, with the majority of the inquiries coming from the great state of Wisconsin. Good morning, Jason. How you doing?
Crackly.
Still good. Just like a warm fire on Christmas Eve, crackling. I was just telling the guys that I did the Google Trends on Clayton Toon, and in a non-shocking development, the majority of the inquiries are coming from the great state of Wisconsin, and they have significantly spiked in the last 24 hours as people try to figure out who might be playing quarterback, even today at practice. What do you think we'll see at practice today from the quarterback situation with Jordan Love dealing with the concussion and Malik dealing with the shoulder injury?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing until Matt LaFleur decided to do a walkthrough, so we won't see anything at practice.
Excellent. So, wonderful.
I wonder if that's part of his thought process. Now, there is practice tomorrow. Paula is thrilled that we'll have assistant coaches till almost 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. But I'm eager to find out too. I've talked to Clayton Toon before, so I haven't had to Google him, but I'm very curious to see how this week plays out because, you know, as we know, one win and they're in, and you would certainly like to have, if not Jordan Love available, Malik Willis available. So I think at the end of the week, we'll find that, you know, again, I don't know exactly where Jordan Love is at in the concussion protocol, but reading the tea leaves a little bit, the way he bounced up, kind of the things that Matt LaFleur has said cautiously, not wanting to violate the NFL's concussion protocol rules, I feel more encouraged than discouraged that Love will clear the protocol in time to play. But again, that's purely an educated guess.
Yeah, I guess I just operate in the space of the majority of time that somebody gets a concussion, they don't play the next week. But yeah, I know Devontae did it. I think Devontae even did it on a short week, Jason. But I feel like that's more the exception than the rule, as we saw even last week with Josh Wiley.
Yeah, I think the fact that, as far as I know anyway, Jordan does not have a documented concussion on his medical chart, at least from the NFL. And again, not that he proved anything by bouncing up and sprinting into the blue tent, because obviously he was subsequently ruled out. And the way Matt LaFleur answered a question on Sunday, I am encouraged. I'm not saying he will definitely play, but it does help, right, that it's a regular 7-day week. Right?
Oh,
last
yes.
week, if he, you know, I don't know how close Wiley was, but they obviously go Sunday to Saturday. That gives you one less day to clear all the hurdles you need to clear.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason, I'm struggling for reasons to be optimistic at this point. And it's not because I don't think the Packers were a good team. It's not because I don't think that they could have made a run in the postseason. But man, does it seem like the injury bug has bit them hard this time of year. Why should I be optimistic about the Packers' chances in the game against the Ravens this weekend?
Yeah, look, because the Ravens have similar problems, right? I mean, they've dealt with a ton of injuries, and their quarterback missed some extended time. I don't know what it'll look like. I know John Harbaugh said that Lamar Jackson is day-to-day, so we'll have to wait and see what that exactly looks like and whether they go with Snoop Huntley or if Lamar Jackson is ready to go. They obviously have things to play for too, right? I mean, they lose and they're done. So they're trying to keep hope alive and make that last week game against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers meaningful. But I'm hopeful that when I go to Lambeau today and talk to some folks, including Matt LaFleur, that, you know, there'll be maybe a more encouraging tone yet. And if that happens, then obviously you feel a lot better about their chances. But yeah, this is like when he said that Malik Willis, because I didn't watch the broadcast, obviously, with Brady, but I think someone told me that Brady was talking about how it was clear that his shoulder was injured. I didn't realize that, frankly, until Matt LaFleur mentioned it.
Yeah, so they showed the replay because it happened on the last play of regulation, Jason, where he took the sack and he landed right on his shoulder. And right before overtime, Tom had mentioned that he saw Malik throwing on the sideline and his motion was considerably different. That's what yeah, Tom Brady had said.
Well, and I know people are mixed on him, but that's good insight. So good on you, Tom. If you're down to Clayton Toon, and I don't know if they like, I mean, if it's bad enough, do you have to go out and get somebody else? Do you have to figure out where Sean Clifford is right now or something? Like, today will be an important day to at least get a feel for where they're at. And then obviously, you know, today's a walkthrough. Tomorrow is an actual practice. So we'll have to wait and see if anybody does anything when we get to tomorrow.
Yeah, because even your emergency quarterback's beat up. Josh Jacobs dealing with the knee injury. So it's not a great situation. But tight end, Jason, I know you had jokingly asked about big dog Mercedes Lewis. What are they actually going to do with that? Because they only have two tight ends that are healthy on the roster after the torn Achilles of John Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, another great question. I feel like I have very few answers for you today. They have two tight ends on their practice squad, Drake Dabney and McCallan Castles, which is, you know, 30 seasons. That's, I've never heard a name close to that. And we don't talk to practice squad guys. They're technically off limits. If he gets promoted, one of my first questions is, tell me the history behind your name. So it'll be interesting to see that. But like, you know, I wasn't entirely kidding when I said, you know, Mercedes Lewis, I mean, he's been with the Broncos now for a few weeks. They released him from the 53, put him on the practice squad. Matt LaFleur loves him. Unfortunately, he's only about 67 years old in Goody's mind. I mean, if you're if you're 30, Goody doesn't want you. If you're 41 or whatever he is, imagine how little. I mean, look, he should have been on this team for longer than he was, right? Like, LaFleur absolutely loves them. They draft two tight ends in 2023. I think Big Dog's last year was Rodgers last year in 22 here.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that he wouldn't have been great for, I mean, Lord knows he's not going to take up a lot of passing snaps at this point in his career. Like, he would have been great for Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. And I know Tucker Kraft developed amazingly without an old guy on the roster, but I still, and it's not like I've got a super close relationship with him. My buddy Wes Hodkowitz and him talk MMA all the time. That's not a conversation I get to be part of. I think there's some WWE wrapped in there too, so
ooh,
you could prep me if they bring him back. But the bottom line is that's, you know, it's just way out of Goody's age range. It's like Leonardo DiCaprio when it comes to signing guys.
Jeez.
Good pop.
Didn't see that coming.
The other thing I was concerned about, obviously, was I watched Christian Watson and Jaden Reed collide on Saturday. And Watson, I was more concerned about. Again, both of these guys have been banged up at various points this season. But Watson, of course, coming off of that, was it chest injury that he was dealing with the week prior? Is it your understanding that they're pretty good to go? At least that would be something to look forward to, is those guys being back out on the field this weekend? Did they say anything after the game?
Matt said on Sunday that he thought that Christian came out okay. So that's good. Let's not forget, like, Romeo Doubs, who has certainly drawn the ire of Packers fans for not fielding that onside kick very effectively. He also injured his wrist on that play, and he had been a kind of an important piece for them offensively for most of the night. So, yeah, it's a bit of a quagmire over there, and I'm sure if Chewy were here, he would tell us how crowded the training room must be this week with this many walking wounded.
But at the end of the day, they just have to win one game, right? Like, the one game over the last two is all it requires in order to be in the postseason. And what were you saying?
Or a Lions loss.
And what were you saying as far as the seeding goes? They're pretty well locked in.
75% that they're going to be the seventh seed.
So to me, it's like, whole point, Jason, is like, yes, you're the walking wounded right now. Yes, you're all banged up, but it looks like this is a playoff team, and maybe there's some strategy there of getting healthy over the next few weeks before the postseason starts.
Yeah, I mean, look, they obviously have to get there, right? And so there's you're kind of limited in just how cautious you can afford to be, right? You got to, I guess, they'll find a way to win a football game. Although, like Gabe pointed out, you can also cross your fingers and hope that the Lions also lose a game. But let's be clear here. Like, and again, I know that our rival sister station, you know, Cap's calling people and leaving them laughing hysterically, voicemails and everything else. But we are trending very much toward there being a rematch, round three in Chicago, the two versus the seven, and the Bears end up being the two and the Packers end up being the seven. There's a possibility that doesn't turn out to be the case. We don't know. The Bears have two challenging games left themselves. But sign me up as someone who has been wanting to see this rivalry ratcheted up, and certainly did see it in a 13-day span do exactly that. Sign me up for them playing a third time at Soldier Field in the first round of the playoffs.
Our conversations with Jason Wilde brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. How did LaFleur feel like Morgan held up at right tackle, Jason?
Pretty well. I think he had some pretty positive reviews on that after watching the film. I did not check his Pro Football Focus grade, but I think the general vibe was that, hey, this guy, you know, clearly this guy's a tackle, not a guard. I think that was part of the kind of equation. You know, look, they had two decisions to make, right? They had that decision at right tackle without Zach Tom, because LaFleur admitted after the game that neither Zach Tom nor Evan Williams were close, which is kind of what I thought all week. But they played the game, putting them as questionable, probably more like doubtful, or probably even out would have been realistic. So they had to figure out, do they go Kennard or do they go Jordan Morgan at right tackle? They stuck with Morgan and went with Kennard as the tight end guy that he's been in the U-71 Kevin Berry package.
He's tight end too now.
Yeah, no kidding. I had asked him a couple weeks ago if he's been working on the jugs machine, and he said he's doing that every day. So look out for a pass to Darian Kennard. I'm sure it'll go great.
Hopefully there's not a hold like there was on your guy Tausch's touchdown.
Gray Rugemer, every time I see him, he's in charge of player programs. That's the first thing I think of is, you ruined Christmas, because that was on Christmas.
It was too. I was at that game. I remember the whole thing.
He's like the Bumpus Hounds. So the other thing is that, and the other decision that they had to make was obviously in the secondary. And I'd be curious, Gabe, if you second-guessed this the way I did. Look, Javon Bullard played great. I don't want this to sound at all like I'm questioning Javon Bullard, because he was really good on Saturday night. But I found myself wondering, especially after the miscommunication between Nate Hobbs and Keyshawn Nixon on the game-tying touchdown, would they have been better off playing Bullard at safety in the base and then moving him down to nickel and bringing Zane Anderson off the bench to play safety when they would go to their sub package, or what they chose to do, which was just play Bullard at safety all game long, give him all the reps during the week there, and bring in Nate Hobbs. And look, Nate Hobbs may still be a productive player, but he has had a season where he hasn't been healthy, and when he's been on the field, he hasn't been effective. And maybe that touchdown pass still happens. Maybe there's still that same miscommunication that leaves Jahdae Walker wide open. But that was the one second guess I had after the game.
Of course, he opened himself up for some ripe jokes on social media about, so Nate Hobbs can defend something, when he stepped in front of Keyshawn Nixon at his locker after the game. Gave me a chuckle as well. Jason, we appreciate the time today. Have a great one. Merry Christmas to you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
It's Jason Wilde. You can listen to him on Wilde and Tausch and a myriad of other programs here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I just was looking up at the television ahead of me that says, are the Bears being given enough respect? Oof. Yes. They're being given the adequate amount of respect.
I would say so, yeah.
For what the Bears are. We'll talk about that a little bit more and get to the Packers-Ravens as the show rolls on. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, stick around.
Take that, Caleb Williams! Sticks it up your... Take that! Take that! Take that!
David Kaplan of ESPN 1000 in Chicago giving our guy Ben Brust a call, leaving him a voicemail after the Bears beat the Packers on Saturday. And listen, I obviously didn't get to react to this in the postgame show like you did. I obviously wasn't on the show yesterday as I was traveling to Bloomington for game day responsibilities. But I really wasn't that bothered by the outcome of that game. And here's why, guys. It was so flippin' fluky, okay? Think of all of the things that had to happen in order for the Bears to eke out an overtime victory over the Packers. Jordan Love, starting quarterback, had to go out with the injury. Malik Willis takes over. Eventually, he was hurt and, according to Tom Brady, was limited in the overtime situation, in the overtime part of the game. You had, obviously, Josh Jacobs limited, right? They were clearly keeping him on a pitch count and letting Emmanuel Wilson handle the bulk of that load. You had the onside kick that we talked about already with Romeo Doubs. You had Green Bay going 0-for-5 in the red zone. Like, you got to try to be that bad in the red area. You had the guy who caught the touchdown, Jahdae Walker, was that his name? I'm not even sure because I had never even heard of him. That was his second catch.
Yeah, his first catch was earlier in the day.
For the year.
The first two catches of his career.
Oh, I didn't even realize it was that significant.
Yes, right? First two catches of his career were in that game.
That's what I mean
yes.
when I talk about flukiness, right? And then, of course, you had the 46-yard touchdown, Caleb Williams to DJ Moore in single coverage, and we talked about how, you know, there was a breakdown by the Green Bay Packers as well. Those are fluky things, guys. Like, and you needed every single one of them for the Bears to be able to beat the Packers. This was not dominant in any way, shape, or form, and that's why I don't feel all that bad about how it shook out. And I know Bears fans, as you heard David Kaplan there, are very excited. I will say the first time I heard it, I thought it was my father coming back from the dead, who was a notorious... That sounds exactly like him!
It's a cartoon laugh. It really is.
That is exactly what my dad would have done, calling the Packers fans that he knows had he been around for that Bears victory on Saturday night.
But again, it just shows that this was their Super Bowl. Caleb Williams showing up at a charity event with a cheese grater on his head. This was their Super Bowl. This was everything they ever wanted. Like, they don't, I don't know if they have larger goals. They probably should. They're the 2 seed in the NFC right now, but they already won their Super Bowl. Their season's probably over at this point because, well, they did the one thing that they've always wanted to do. So congratulations. I was bothered because, yes, it was fluky, but it knocks the Packers in a tough spot. You win that game and you're in the driver's seat for the NFC North, which is the next step I thought this team needed to take. And having home games is something that I would love for this team to be able to have.
Do they win that game, Gabe, if Jordan Love is under center?
I think so.
I know they win that game if Jordan Love is under center.
As much as I love Malik and I wish they could find a way for him to still be the backup quarterback next year, where he's going to be limited is in the red zone. Like, if you can't run it efficiently inside the red zone, the windows are getting just a little too tight for him. And he's not going to be able to thread the needle the way Jordan does typically when you find yourself in that red zone area. So I think that they don't go 0 for 5. I know they did go 0 for 2 with Jordan in that area.
But they are a notoriously slow starting team also.
I don't know about that.
They have been. I don't know how
they've
this
been
season
up and
shakes
down.
Out.
They've been up and down this season.
But this is something that we have talked about when we talk about Jordan Love and his ability to lead this offense. It feels like it takes them a little bit of time to get rolling, to get into a rhythm. So to me, when I watched the first two trips to the red zone, my thought was like, yeah, but they'll figure it out. Because it feels like they always do.
Yeah, I mean, they scored in their first five possessions against Denver. Like, they've gotten off to fast starts this year. But they wouldn't have gone 0 for 5 in the red zone. I feel very confident about that, if Jordan Love would have been able to play that whole game. But yeah, now Jordan's out, and now you're in a position where you're really beat up. I don't want to take things for granted, because I want to beat Baltimore. I just want to put an end to it, and okay, you're in. See what Chicago does against San Francisco. See if there's any chance at winning a division in Week 18 if you can beat the Vikings and the Bears ultimately lose to the Lions. But also, this is a desperate Baltimore team. It's not a good Baltimore team, but they're desperate. They can't lose again. Their backs are against the wall. And I would rather just win that game and take care of business. But I don't know. Again, with not knowing who's going to play quarterback, it's hard to be, yep, Packers are going to be able to beat the Ravens. I can't say that right now with the way the injury report is.
I think it all hinges, Brian, on whether or not Lamar ends up playing.
Yeah, for sure. And I do wonder if Baltimore is a little bit more remotivated after the news that broke last night that DK Metcalf is going to be out for two games. And that little tidbit, guys, of him forfeiting $45 million in guaranteed money is crazy.
I didn't even see that detail of it. I just assumed that Aaron Rodgers was going to get after him for being so stupid about engaging with a fan.
There's offset language in his contract where his future guarantees, which is $45 million, 25 next year, 20 the following year. Now, he can still earn that money if he's on the team, but it's just not guaranteed. Because there was an offset if he gets suspended and cannot practice or play for conduct detrimental to the team, which is what the NFL language was when he got suspended, that money is no longer guaranteed.
So you're saying, Brian, that DK Metcalf being out for that matchup maybe reinvigorates the Ravens to the point where they say, oh, we have a shot here, win the game, sort of light a fire under the rest of our season.
I think they're thinking, okay, let's go into Green Bay, let's take care of business, they're banged up too, and then we get one game for all the marbles, and the Steelers and Rodgers are down their top weapon on the outside.
Yeah,
right?
The unfortunate part about this is the Packers playing on Saturday. Because the Steelers beat...
You're saying in the order of operations.
Correct.
They play first, and then these other games take place.
Correct. Because if the... didn't think I was going to be getting a
PEMDAS. If you can work a PEMDAS into a conversation,
yeah, I guess you just
do it. So, Ryan, I'm on board.
But if the Steelers beat the Browns on Sunday, doesn't matter what the Ravens do. The Ravens are done because the Ravens need the Steelers to lose that game. So if things were flipped and the Steelers won on Saturday, Packers were playing on Sunday, Baltimore would probably just wave the red flag. Not worth having Lamar go out there. This season's over. Let's make sure everybody just gets into 2026 healthy.
But the red flag.
That's just not the way things go.
You're waving the red flag?
Yeah. Okay. It's stopping.
Okay.
we're bringing a stop to everything.
Maybe it's a Christmas thing. It's waving the red and the green flag.
Santa's
flag,
yeah.
Merry
the challenge
Christmas.
Flag.
Most people are waving the white flag. Gabe is waving the red flag.
We're ending things. We're stopping.
Is there a NASCAR reference there?
Yeah, exactly. The red flag stops the race.
Is that the red flag?
Yeah,
the
red flag
checkered
stops
flag.
That's the checkered flag wins the race. But if there's like a bad crash, the caution flag, and you can't go around, then it's the red flag because you have to stop.
Jen and I are throwing the red flag and challenging your comments.
Hey, I saved that, all right? I don't care what you say. I saved it.
Nicely done.
As if you tell us that you say
it,
well,
if I say it, if I say it even more, it's
we'll
definitely
take
true.
A break here on Jen Gabe and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to in the show. Stick around.
Pizza is always a great idea, and you need to take advantage today. Look, if you're not a lot of people are necessarily working this week, so if you've got some grocery shopping you got to take care of, you need to pick up some Connie's Frozen Pizza, the cornmeal dusted, all natural ingredients, pizzeria quality without the pizzeria prices. And through today at Piggly Wiggly, you can get Connie's Frozen Pizza for just $4.99. Stock up on Connie's. It is a frozen pizza unlike any other you have had. So again, check it out with that cornmeal dusted crust, that pizzeria quality without the pizzeria prices. Connie's Frozen Pizza on sale through today for $4.99 at Piggly Wiggly. But you better promise me I'll be back in time.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot real quickly, Gabe, before we go to the second hour of the show this morning.
All right.
I know.
What do we got?
Give me the recipe for success this weekend against the Ravens. I know. There's a lot of variables that you have to nail down.
Who the hell's playing I'll tell you that Clayton Tune doesn't play quarterback. Is that good enough?
You're saying you don't win if Clayton Tune is playing quarterback?
Correct. That is what I
am
telling you.
Again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the spike of interest in Clayton Tune has been remarkable over the last 48 hours here in Wisconsin as the Google chart is like...
And look, I understand everybody was questioning when Malik Willis came in saying they couldn't win. I was one of them. We saw Taylor Lewan, a former teammate, say on national television, Malik Willis doesn't know ball. Turns out everybody was wrong, that Matt LaFleur got the best out of Malik Willis, especially in a short amount of time, because it's not like he was with the team for a long time. Clayton Tune has been around all season, but I also just feel like this is drastically different. This is a guy who's been in the league, has been bounced around a little bit, now on a practice squad. I can't imagine that as much as I love Matt LaFleur when his back's against the wall, I can't imagine what a winning formula looks like with Clayton Tune as your quarterback.
So let's go through a couple of scenarios here. Let's go through the first scenario. If Jordan Love is concussed and cannot play and Malik Willis can play, he'd still likely be limited with that shoulder just based on what the injury think it might be.
I'm curious because the pass that he had in overtime was fine. It's not like it didn't, it felt like it was, it didn't like, it was just a lob, little lollipop out there. Felt like he drove on it pretty well.
This is where I wish Chewy was here to tell us exactly what sort of thing they do. I mean, does he get a shot? Is it a pain management thing? I guess all of these questions might be answered today.
And it all depends upon what the injury is, right?
But what I was going to say about Malik Willis is because he's a dual threat quarterback, he can still make plays with his legs. Now, does that become one dimensional? Does that become predictable? Obviously, yes. But I still think there is a world where Matt LaFleur can scheme Malik Willis, maybe not being able to throw as well as he did prior to the injury, but still get them first downs, move the chains with Malik Willis out there. Because if he's running, now again, you don't want to put him in harm's way. And once he's a runner, he's a runner. Mm-hmm. That puts him, you know, where they could tackle him and take him down and maybe even injure it further. But I do think that there is a world, a scheme, where Malik Willis, even injured, could lead this team to victory against the Ravens.
Yeah, and I'm really curious to see what the game plan would be against Lamar. Because while Caleb is athletic and Caleb did make a couple of plays with his legs, Lamar's another level. Like, Lamar's a step up from that.
And you combo that, Gabe, with somebody who I do not want to get hit by in late December in Green Bay, Wisconsin, who had 18 carries for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns this past weekend.
Derrick Henry?
Big fella.
Well, yeah, but they also don't give him the ball for whatever reason. Like, they just forgot Derrick Henry was on their team. They were up over the Patriots, had 2 possessions late in the game. He wasn't even on the field.
He's had some fumble issues, which is, I think, why they're taking him off the field in some big moments.
Sure, but when you've got 18 for 128.
Tote the rock, brother.
Your starting quarterback is out. I'm giving Derrick Henry the ball. And they've just, for whatever reason at times, have forgotten he is on their team.
I just feel like there's probably a parallel universe happening right now in Baltimore, maybe on some Baltimore radio stations, where they are talking about what is the recipe for the Ravens to beat the Packers, recognizing that both of these teams are banged up, recognizing that at the most important position, quarterback, you're trying to figure out who the hell is going to be on the field this weekend.
Look, Snoop went in and beat the Bears earlier this year. But as far as backup quarterbacks go, Snoop Hudley is a really good backup quarterback.
I can't believe we're hook, line, and sinker buying Snoop Huntley. Like, that's a thing all of a sudden?
It's always been a thing.
It was not always a thing. Come on, we are not going to do the thing where we convince ourselves that he's always been known as Snoop.
I mean, like, the first time he started, no. But the last time he started significant games because Lamar was injured, then Snoop was a thing.
I mean, Snoop's a cool name. You know, if Tyler Huntley... not as cool.
Tyler Huntley is just like, yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
Snoop Huntley? I don't want to play Snoop.
Now, Tyler Dog, not as cool as Snoop Dogg.
Did he give himself the Snoop nickname? I think we've been pretty clear on how we feel about giving oneself a nickname. That changes the coolness level.
I did some chat GPTing. I think folks in his upbringing brought it. He looked like Snoop Dogg when he was a kid. Like, he looked like a skinny Snoop Dogg when he was growing up, so the name stuck.
So it's the same thing with, again, Kingsley. We all thought he was Kingsley Engabare. Then we found out it's JJ, because he liked JJ the plane or whatever when he was a kid, so everybody called him JJ when he was growing up. Same thing.
800-990-3776. What is the recipe for the Packers to get a win this weekend over the Ravens? I do think there is a world, and it's not that far-fetched of a world, where Malik Willis can lead this team to victory if Jordan Love cannot go out there. If Jordan Love is out there, Katie bar the door. I don't think there's even a question the Packers win this game. Now, again, same thing going on over there. Is Lamar going to be able to play? Is he healthy enough? You just mentioned Snoop. Like, I think these are all, it does feel like we are dealing with a very similar situation to what Baltimore is dealing with. If Jordan Love is on the field and Lamar Jackson in a limited role is on the field, Packers get the victory. If Jordan Love is on the field and Snoop Huntley is on the field, Packers get the victory. That's how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, and the Ravens just haven't been the Ravens this year. There have been glimpses, if you happen to watch the game on Sunday night, they looked like the Baltimore Ravens the first possession. They scored in five plays. It was the easiest drive you've ever seen, and you're like, oh, Ravens are back. And then all of a sudden, they just start struggling again. Whether it's fumbles, whether it's just Lamar being a little bit inaccurate this year because the injuries have slowed him down, they just haven't quite been the same. And especially if he does not play, and Huntley still can move and be an athletic quarterback. But the Packers have been better against the run. And even without Micah, that's where I feel confident that the Packers would be able to put together a good game plan for Derrick Henry. That they would be able to slow down Derrick Henry and dare the arm of Huntley or even Lamar to beat them.
And you make a great point about the order of operations, the PEMDAS this weekend, the fact that their game is on Saturday. Just get it out of the way, man. Go out there, win the game, lock up the playoff spot, take all the pressure off, and then just get healthy. Get this team as healthy as possible for a playoff run. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. My ears are in and out and in and out. I can hear myself and then I can't hear myself. There are people out there going, we wish we couldn't hear
you. Put her in the protocol.
It's possible. Take a break. Be right back after this.